This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, pet lovers. Welcome to Best Bets for Pets. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. Today, we're going to talk to a representative at Zoetis. And Zoetis has created a breed explorer that is so much fun, and it's really helpful to decide what is the best breed for you, for a dog or for a cat. Which one gels with you, really hits your lifestyle. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome my guest today, Dr. Heather Burst. She is the medical lead at Zoetis, who is the global leader in animal health, and we're going to talk about the Zoetis Breed Explorer. Welcome, Dr. Heather. I'm so happy to have you on the show. Is it okay if I call you Dr. Heather?
Absolutely.
So, Dr. Heather, I'm so excited to have you on Best Bets for Pets. So, for those of us that have not heard about Zoetis, who is Zoetis? And then let's talk about what the Zoetis Breed Explorer is.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. You know, Zoetis is it's a global animal health company, and we make products for dogs and cats and other species of animals as well. And we really like to support, you know, the human-animal bond and bring some really good resources to dog and cat owners.
Okay, great. Thanks for sharing that information with our listeners. Let's talk about the Breed Explorer because I think it's really cool. And we are focused on all pets. So I think it's so important to know what you're getting, and you don't always know what you're getting with mutts. But a lot of people will decide, you know, oh, I just love Jack Russells. They're my favorite. Or I just love a Sphinx, you know, for cats, not realizing how high maintenance they are. So I made that mistake too. I really wanted a Sphinx till I found out more about them and thought I can't commit.
Yeah, I have a Chinese crested dog, so I can empathize with that.
I've seen the Chinese crested at the dog park. It was a long time ago, but they're so cool looking. So you can do research, but you have to go all over the place. So why did Zoetis decide? You know, I know they're into animal health and welfare, but why did they decide we need a breed explorer?
Yeah, you know what? There's so many new cat and dog owners both around. And frequently, I think people make the mistake of they see a cat breed or a dog breed on TV or in a movie. And they're like, hey, that's a really cool breed. I'm going to go get it. You know, not really thinking through that. That breed might be made to do a job or function that doesn't really fit with their family and their lifestyle. So, you know, one thing that Zoetis wanted to do was get a veterinary approved resource that would really help people who are going out to get a new pet understand, you know, the unique needs and what qualities like different breeds might bring to the plate. You know, there's a lot of information out there online. And, you know, sometimes it can be really challenging to figure out what are the best resources to find out information about animal breeds. So, you know, Zoetis wanted to come out with this veterinary approved and assessed site that has over 400 dog and cat breeds on it and will give personalized insights to the pet owner about different animals that might meet their lifestyle.
Okay, thanks. I like that you said vet approved. So how does the Breed Explorer connect with Zoetis's overall mission in pet health and responsible pet ownership? And in addition, the fact that the Breed Explorer is vet approved. But how does this all connect together with let's make sure that we're really focused on pet health and responsible pet ownership? I like that word, responsible.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think, you know, responsible and I would say informed pet ownership is really critical. You know, we want to be able to strengthen an animal bond, and we can do that, we learn, by providing guidance, health tips, some educational tools and resources that will help those pet owners understand, you know, which pet is going to be best for their family. And, you know, beyond linking to the Breed Explorer, when that potential pet owner is going through the process of trying to think which animal is, you know, best for their lifestyle, it will also link out to some other Zoetis resources that have things like, for example, if you're bringing a new kitten home, a checklist for things you might want to think about, or if you're bringing a new puppy home, you know, what's a checklist? How do you puppy proof or kitten proof a home? You know, so that it's going to link out to a whole bunch of other really nice resources. And we have a team of many veterinarians who work with myself, and you know, myself and peers have gone through the information that are both the resources and on a Breed Explorer, just, you know, to make sure they're accurate, to make sure the pet owners are getting the best information possible.
Okay, thank you. So the Breed Explorer has over 400 breeds. What kind of data can you share with our listening audience that is included for each breed?
Yeah, no, that was great. And I can tell you, when we first started getting all the data set, it was even impressive to me as a veterinarian, the amount of information that we had on different breeds. But you can look for things like energy level, family friendliness, potentially being hypoallergenic qualities, size, will they be good with kids? You know, and again, that's an individual thing, but in generalities, which types of pets might be better in households with kids? Were they going to be great city pets, or do they need to be, you know, running outside? Grooming considerations. We were talking about sphinxes earlier. You know, that's one that pops on my radar that might have some extra skin issues. Also, you know, potential health considerations. There's some breeds of both cats and dogs that I adore, but I think owners need to be, you know, aware of different health considerations that they might be getting into and things to look out for as those pets age. So they can find, you know, kind of all those pieces of information on this Pet Explorer site.
Okay, thanks. I think there's great information. And one of the things that always is, you know, top of mind for me is that people that are adopting, the more they're aware of what they're adopting, getting into, you know, it's not a toy you buy in return, because puppies grow up to be dogs, kitties grow up to be cats. And sometimes people are not informed. I'll give you a little bit of history. I mentioned Sphinx earlier. There was a listener that wanted to give me a Sphinx. She wasn't in the same state, but they could be pricey. And I was really considering it. And it wasn't so much that I know they're high maintenance, you know, for a cat that has no fur, their skin gets oily, you have to bathe them often. They're just high maintenance little cats. They need to be around you all the time. What got me is concerned is the fact that I have three other cats and one is not so nice. And a Sphinx has no fur. So one claw and that poor little cat will be scratched. And, you know, there's other things too. You have to clean their ears a certain way, so other high maintenance things. But the idea that even that there was a thought that one of my cats might attack this poor little kitten concerned me. So for that reason, I decided to not adopt the cat, because the little Sphinx kitten, because I don't want to bring a kitten into my home that could be, you know, hurt by one of my other cats. And it's very easy, as we all know, those of us that have cats, one little swipe and you have a cut, right? So can you imagine that for a kitten? So that was what changed my mind. It wasn't so much, it was kind of knowing the breed and making sure that I was aware of everything I was getting into. And I think knowing that can help people make informed decisions. You know, like you said, family friendly, high energy. You know, if you're not a high energy person, don't get a high energy kitty or breed or high energy dog like a Jack Russell, because, you know, unless you're planning to go to the dog park 6 times a week, at least forget it. So I think these are really important in helping people retain ownership, not just, you know, adopt and decide, this dog's not for me or cat's not for me. What are your thoughts on that?
100% agree. And, you know, one thing I will say, I'm super impressed with what you were telling me about the Sphinx, because, you know, I think most people, when they look at the Breed Explorer, would learn the skin cares a lot. But I'm even impressed that you thought even further down the line and how, you know, another cat scratch could be more detrimental to that new kitten. So that, to me, your story is sort of one of the cornerstones of good, you know, good health owners, you know, good pet stewardship and being a good pet owner and thinking through, you know, the last thing that we want is for somebody to get a dog or cat and realize it doesn't fit with their lifestyle, that it's not working out for them, and have to try and find a different house for the animal. You know, being prepared, even from training on up, for what you're going to get with that breed is critical. You know, every time a movie comes out with a certain, you know, dog or cat breed, we vets will find people coming in with puppies of that. And, you know, depending on the dog or cat breed, sometimes we're like, okay. And sometimes it can be a more challenging breed to train, or a breed that's known to have some more potential health problems. That's frustrating that the people aren't, you know, getting informed about potential issues with that breed down the line. So I do think, you know, it's important, and to plan your pet's life and to plan your pet's care early on, whether you buy one or, you know, adopt an older one that you know is a certain breed. I think that's critical.
Okay. So Dr. Heather, how do you assure that the breed health and the care information is current and accurate?
You know, we're always continually, you know, updating the Breed Explorer, looking at it. You know, there's a lot of veterinary research that goes on, a lot of journal articles that get published. So making sure that we really regularly look at that content, make sure it's relevant, reliable. You know, I know I personally have edited some of the content on there a few times since it's been up, just to make sure that we're giving pet owners the most accurate. And we'll look at, beyond the Breed Explorer, we'll look at all of our resources we have for pet owners pretty regularly. And as trends change, as information changes with pet ownership, we update those to reflect that.
Okay, thank you so much. Stay tuned. We'll be right back right after this message from our sponsor.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5-mile walks. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We talked in the first half about the Zoetis Breed Explorer, and we're going to talk a little more about that. So, Dr. Heather, how does the Breed Explorer help those that they've decided on a breed? And like you said, a movie comes out, it's about, you know, a cute lab, everybody wants a lab, or a cute Yorkie, everybody wants a Yorkie. So there's that. You know, just because you love a breed doesn't mean that's the breed for you. But what about mixed breeds? And again, I'm going to talk about some of my fur babes, one who's no longer with us, Mr. Zeus. So I had a thing for border collies, but I like border collie mutts because they're usually not quite as high energy. I've had two. my girl was the first one, and she was super high energy, like feisty. My other one was a border collie, but also flat hair retriever, which I thought was a made up breed, but it's not. And he was more like chill. So I know that breeds can only tell you so much, but they both needed to go to the dog park a few times a week. Otherwise, I was in trouble. I'd get the zoomies big time in my house. So how can you people use the Breed Explorer to help with mixed breeds? Because we see a lot of those in the shelters.
Yep, I agree. You know, and there's a lot of really cool mixed breeds that I love. And I'll share with you, I mentioned earlier, my own little dog Dottie's a Chinese Crested, but she's actually a Chinese Crested mix. She looks like a Chinese Crested, but she has Terrier and Chihuahua in her. But to your point, talking about your border collies, I think because she has the Terrier in her, I live in Asheville, North Carolina, and this little dog will hike up mountains, do 5 or 6 mile hikes, which I wouldn't have thought for a Chinese Crested. So the Terrier comes out sometimes. You know, I would say for mixed breeds, you know, a lot of times by looking at an animal that you rescue or it's a shelter, you might be able to have a good guess for what the primary breed is for sure. And then, you know, just by looks and qualities on it. So I think one thing you could do is if you see an animal online at a shelter, at a rescue, you know, a lot of times those shelters and rescues will take a stab at, hey, this is a lab cross, or this is a Bengal cross, or, you know, whatever breed they're looking at. And then you can look up, you know, that there are some genetic testing that you can get done on your pets to figure out exactly what breeds they are. But I also think, you know, talking about the mixed breeds, I think that the other point we need to think about with a Breed Explorer is that, you know, these are tendencies for all these pets, but everybody is an individual. And a lot of how that dog or cat's going to turn out also is, you know, how you raise it, how your environment is, what training, what veterinary care, preventative veterinary care you get for that pet even will help with its longevity. So I think that's important for people to think about too.
Okay, thanks. I think it's also interesting how breed traits can potentially predict behavior. And we talked a little bit about that just now, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about my cat, Dennis. So Dennis found me. He was abandoned. He was outside crying one night, cold, and I opened the door. He just walked in. And I've had Dennis, oh my gosh, almost 18, 17 years.
Oh, that's amazing.
I was not a cat person then. My catitude friends, I was not a cat person. And it wasn't until I had my next set of cats that I learned Dennis is like atypical. He's more like a dog in action. So I found out he's part, I didn't do a genetic test, but over just checking and everything, he's part Maine Coon. So I thought he was like this special cool cat, but that's just in his nature. He's not what they say, quote, cat-like. And I know some people might cringe hearing that, but it was better for me to get started on a cat like this, you know, for my cat app, because it was just a nice way to get used to cat behavior. But it also tricked me because I learned from my other cats, especially Molly, that that's how cats are. So how much breed traits can you actually do as far as in behavior? Because we touched on it, but how exact is that? Or is it just, you know, it's some, it's a tool, it's a guide, but it's not all of it.
I'm gonna give you a mixed answer. I'm gonna say
that's fine.
It's a little bit of both is what I'm gonna say. You know, I think that a lot of cat and dog breeds have been bred for long periods of time to do certain jobs. My mind goes more with the canine side and thinking about working dogs and dogs that were meant to, you know, for example, herd sheep, herd cattle, or be watchdogs. I do think that when you have a specific breed of dog or cat that's been bred for generations to bring out certain qualities, they are pretty likely to bring some of those. I also think, though, equally as important is, you know, hey, you might get a dog that may have more energy, and you know that's going to be the behavior piece. So, you know, you maybe you want to do fly ball with a dog, or maybe you want to do some extra training. So I think that it's both, you know, it's the breeds. And I think that even with a mixed breed, that predominant breed is going to bring characteristics with it. And, you know, talking about health-wise, certainly as a veterinarian, you know, there are genetic diseases. There are certain things that breeds are prone to. Those are going to come too. But again, you know, being aware of those things, giving appropriate environment, it is going to help. And, you know, every animal obviously is an individual too. So, so no matter, you know, what you get, you might be surprised.
Okay, good answer. How does Breed Explorer work with other zoetics resources? Like, you know, maybe the pet health checklist or vet visits?
Yeah. I mean, really great, like, you know, different things that can be toxic to dogs or cats. How to puppy proof a cat or dog. You know, there's even articles I'm thinking about, you talking about having a couple, you know, multiple cats. Like, what if one of your cats is having a litter box problems? What types of things can you do to problem shoot? You mentioned cleaning a cat ears. There is actually an article I just thought about that is on there about how to clean a cat ears. So for example, like if you look up a breed that may be tending to have skin problems or ear problems, and you might see a link at the bottom that's like, hey, you know, here's a link to how do you know if your dog has an ear infection, or how do you know when to take your dog to a vet or cat to a vet with an ear infection? So you'll be able to find a whole bunch of other resources related to it. And again, all veterinary approved. So I think those are, you know, to me, that's kind of the critical piece too, is knowing that a veterinarian has looked at the resources and approved them.
Right. And that it's not just generic AI, which is leads into my next question. So are there plans to expand Breed Explorer, maybe add more species? You know, dogs and cats are the most predominant pets in the U.S., but people have other things. I can't think of anything of hedgehogs, guinea pigs. Ferrets, that's what I couldn't think of. Ferrets are coming out there big. What about a vet chat box or possible AI personalization? But it would have to be, of course, vet approved AI. So I don't know how that.
Yeah, no, you know, and I think that is some of the things that we've been kind of thinking through and looking at. You know, zoetics, like I mentioned, obviously we make products for dogs and cats, but we do all species. And I'll tell you, the one that popped into my head, and it's probably just because I have one, you know, that would be a good new species. And I don't know if we're actually going to work on it or not, would be horses. Because when we were talking about breeds earlier, you know, that's another animal that people keep as pets, but the breed really has they're bred to do certain things. So similar to what I said with dog and cats. So I do think, you know, looking at different species with something that could be done, you know, I know for sure looking at things like vet chatbots, AI-powered personalization, and making sure we have the links out to not just the blogs, the downloadables, but even video content too. So making sure there's a lot of, I'll say, multimedia content on there is going to be important as we move forward.
Okay, great. Thank you. What is the one myth about breeds, whether, you know, cats or dogs, that you wish people would stop believing?
I would say the breed, and it's something I sort of had said a few different times, but I'll say it pretty clear this time, is that breed alone determines, you know, personality. Because I will say, I think you can have any cat breed or any dog breed, and if you don't provide that animal with appropriate care, you may not have the best outcome. And on the flip side, if you really do your homework, if you really are engaged with how you're bringing that pet home and what veterinary care you're getting for it, and if how you're working with that animal and handling it, introducing it, all those things really are critical in your pet's behavior beyond breed.
I absolutely agree. I think you can only look at the breed as a guide, but you're right, doesn't determine personality. It might just be, you know, I think it's very good for energy level or expectations that people might not be prepared for, but yes, doesn't indicate personality at all. Do you think the Breed Explorer can help improve that animal-human bond in the long term?
I think so, because I think when you think about that human-animal bond, you know, part of it is, you know, how we're helping that dog or cat, but it's also how that dog or cat is supporting us in our journeys. You know, are they providing us companionship? Are they combining us with an exercise partner? Are they helping us when we're stressed? So I think, you know, if you really sit down and critically think about, you know, what is my lifestyle? What is my family's lifestyle? Where do I live and which pet will fit in the best? I think it's a win-win because not only will that animal be happier, but guess what? You will be too. You know, I think you'll have a more successful relationship with that dog or cat, and you could see some of the great benefits of pet ownership.
Thank you so much. Okay, we have time for one more question. If you could give every new pet owner a piece of advice, what would you tell them?
So I will say, I think being a veterinarian, I will say, you know, find a veterinarian in your area that's going to become your partner in your pet's health journey. You know, do your research, ask your friends, talk to different veterinarians, find a vet hospital that will work with you, and that person will be, you know, on your pet's entire journey, a partner. They'll be able to obviously help you with like preventative care. They'll be able to help you figure out when your pet's not feeling well, and they can even help out with behavior questions and problems. So really relying on that veterinarian and that whole entire vet healthcare team to be your partner with your vet's care as you go through the journey.
Thank you so much. For everyone listening, you can go to the show page for this show, and there will be a link to the Zoetis Breed Explorer. And where else can we find it, Dr. Heather?
So if you go to zoetispetcare.com/breed-explorer, it will be there. But even I know me, and I'm not good at typing in those long addresses. If you just type in the Zoetis US Pet Care and say you're a pet owner, you can navigate to it from there pretty easily as well.
Okay, perfect. And that's spelled Z as in zebra, O, E like egg, T as in Tom, I, S as in Sam.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Dr. Heather, thank you so much for coming on Best Bets for Pets.
No, thank you. This was fun.
I hope you all enjoyed this show. Thank you so much for your loyal listenership to Best Bets for Pets. Please go ahead and check out Zoetis Breed Explorer. There is a ton of information, all kinds of info on different dogs. If you're thinking about getting one breed over another, there's a lot of great information, a lot of great information about cats as well. I found it super helpful and just so exciting to read about the different breeds and their needs and so forth. Again, Zoetis Breed Explorer. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Heather Burse, for coming on the show. And thanks to my cat crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. I checked out their breeds, what I could. Dennis is part Maine Coon. He was easy. Molly's a tuxedo. Charlotte's a little calico, and I don't know what else, but harder to pin down their breed. One of these days, I should do a DNA test on them. But very, very exciting information. And a big thank you to my producer, Mark Winter, for working his magic with for all he does. So thank you so much, Mark. And remember, keep listening. You never know what we'll have next on Best Bets for Pets.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.